dinner hall of life.
Welcome to the Inner Hoe Uprising,
the podcast about sex, love, and dating from two black polygons.
Yeah. I like that.
That's it.
Two dimensional beings.
Yeah. But if we're being real honest, if I was going to like have a TBH moment, we're actually just two black feminists in New York City.
Hoeing around.
We're not polygons, unfortunately.
Damn it.
But, so if you want to talk to us and follow our conversation and shit, you can use the hashtag Innerhoe Uprising on Twitter, Instagram.
Don't use it anywhere else.
That's pointless. That's the main point.
The hoe of the week this week is... Allie V.
She said we coughed
too much and that we yawned during the show.
Which is actually...
Like, Allie, are you paying my bills? Keep me from not being tired all the time? No, I'm just
tired
kidding.
And sick.
We really appreciate her critique. No, and she was like, I'm a long-time listener and I love you ladies.
Yeah, I appreciated that because like, I didn't really notice because I don't listen to the show.
I did. Sometimes I cut them out, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I feel like you should know what we're really going through.
Yeah, right, you should know our struggles.
No, sometimes it's just hard to cut out, honestly.
Yeah, we're grinding to bring you this podcast.
Thank you so much.
Bay of the Week, Amy Goodman.
Yeah.
She is journalist, host of Democracy Now!, which is a morning...
Daily progressive news hour.
Please.
I used to work there.
Yeah.
So Amy Goodman was reporting at Standing Rock because the folks over there, if you don't know, a lot of Native American tribes, specifically the Standing Rock Sioux tribe, was protesting the Dakota Access Pipeline project. And there was mad shit going on. People were getting maced and fucking attacked
by dogs
and shit like that. Amy Goodman was there with... another producer. I don't know who it was. I don't work there anymore. I don't care.
It's hard to be in the loop.
Yeah, it's hard to be in the loop at every time. But, yeah, so apparently she has a misdemeanor charge against her for trespassing.
Well, really, she's just exposing gross human crimes.
I mean, she was trespassing, though, too.
Oh, yeah.
So were the protesters, but, you know, sometimes you gotta break the law.
Because the law isn't always just.
It's fucked up, exactly.
Self-care tip of the week comes from I Don't Do Clubs, which is, like, this dope blog. Dope web page.
When you become my father.
That they have all these like dope events for young black professionals, and it's just cool. On their Instagram page I saw this, and it's, you don't have to have it all figured out in order to move forward. Which I like that quote, because I think that's totally true. Is then you get into that habit of you just wait for opportunity to come your way, but usually you just have to go and find shit, or go through the work of figuring out, all right, what am I going to do next? You know, instead of just do it. Like, don't wait for shit.
Opportunity won't come knocking. Whenever you do these, I just say a cliche afterwards.
And Hester's.
I have nothing to contribute to this actual show.
No,
I'm just pums. I'm just puns and cliches.
That's what we need, though. Or making the sound.
It's not what we need. It's what we deserve. Just dumb. Just stupid.
Just saying. they might make sense. They might not.
Just throw it out. See what sticks.
Make my day.
Oh, man.
That's funny.
Cliches are great.
Read of the week, which is a new thing I've never seen before.
New segment I'm introducing. It's just like, sometimes it'll be here, sometimes it won't be. But I stumbled across this read of the week, this piece. Fusion.com, it's called The Brown Girl's Paradox, We're Both Invisible and Sexualized. This dope article that I found when I was looking up.
Something we'll talk about later.
Yeah, something later. Written by a woman named Faria, I'll say Rosen.
Okay.
So this article is really well written, and it's basically this woman's story of growing up as a large person of color, and how she just like... When she learned to enjoy her body, but also, well, it starts off with how much, what surprised me was how much she hated her body and the ways in which she started to develop, like, negative ideas about her body and her sexuality when she was, like, 11. But also, it's also very beautifully written, and I think it really does a good job of showing how how people of color and people of size are invisible in the media, but at the same time are hypersexualized, as the title suggests. But it's just really well written. I learned like 10 new words, and it's just has some. It's very powerful. So if you have some time to read it, it's a good read.
Thank you for that. I will link it in the description box.
Bring your dictionary.
Bring your dick too. All right, now pay a bitch.
Pay a bitch.
Would you like to pay a motherfucking bitch?
Yeah, so we've been getting some donations recently.
Keep them rolling in. Ching, ching.
Please, because we need them.
Donate to us by going to paypal.me/innerho.
And also, another way that you can pay a bitch is if you have a product or a company and you want to run ads, or you know someone who's like, who they would benefit from having their ad read to a bunch of young black millennials, a lot of women, you know, so people with, I don't know, beauty products, exercise shit, or whatever, honestly, hit us up via email. We'll run your ad, as long as it's not like howtokillaho.com.
Or a service, too, by the way.
Yeah, not kill these hoes, Amazon's most recent feature.
If they're paying for the ad, I don't mind, to be honest.
Yeah, so hit us up, we'll tell you about our rate, but we would love to advertise your shit, black creators supporting other black creators.
Totes my goats.
All right, so that's it. Now
let's start the show. Fuck that! Current events segment.
Current events and shit.
Now on to a fourth grade teacher who is becoming an internet sensation for posting sexy selfies showing off her curves, some of them even in the classroom. And now some people are asking, is this lady too hot for school?
Patricia Brown, a fourth grade paraprofessional in Atlanta, named hashtag Teacher Bay. Like, she wasn't named the hashtag, named Teacher Bay.
I also think you're saying Patricia weird.
Patricia?
Yeah.
You know, we've all met different Patricias in our lives.
Patricia Brown.
Call her Pat Brown.
Okay.
What do you say?
Patricia.
Say Patricia.
We're saying two different things. Ooh.
It's like there's
Can you hear the difference in what I'm saying?
I can. Okay. Are you dumb, bitch? Do you understand what you're doing?
Sorry, Shanika. All right. Patricia Brown, yeah.
It's like the way you say pear.
Pear?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, damn.
Sounds like pear.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah. So, Miss Brown.
Yeah.
Teacher Bay went viral for her racy, I don't even think they're racy, she's just like a really good looking woman.
Yeah.
And she has a bunch of selfies on her Instagram page, like the average good looking woman or person.
Mm-hmm.
And it sparked this whole debate about whether or not teachers should be dressed
good looking.
Yeah. So
basically.
So her clothes, people call it club attire. Her clothes, I'd say it's form fitting.
Mm-hmm.
She looks great to me.
Mm-hmm.
She is fully covered. It's not like her ass is hanging out.
Mm-mm.
Or her, or you can see her cleavage.
Yeah.
So there's like the two sides of the, there's just like a lot of things. It's like, one, would anybody have cared if she wasn't a curvy woman?
No.
Because she's got like titties and ass.
She's stacked, as they say.
Yeah. Like
she's got the assets.
Yeah,
as
she looks
say.
Awesome. People are like, and if I think like, you know, someone was flat, a very like a more flat chested woman wearing something that form fitting.
Yeah.
No one would say anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Be like, oh, okay. And even in one of the pictures, she's like wearing a cardigan. Like she's very, I think she's totally appropriately dressed.
Yeah.
And I think we should stop.
She's just hot. I think people are just thinking with their dicks, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, I'm attracted to this woman, but wait, this woman is supposed to be a virginal teacher teaching my kids. And my kids shouldn't think about sex, even though kids are sexual people in the first place.
Yeah, and your kids...
You're just putting a lot onto a situation that doesn't have any of that at all.
No, especially that. So she went Teacher of the Month.
Mm-hmm.
So she's, like, doing a good job.
Yeah.
She's, like,
yeah, she's not a bad teacher.
Yeah, and so, yeah, she's not a bad teacher. I think the kids like her.
She's not exposing them to anything that they really aren't exposed to. Like, that's a woman's body.
Yeah. Like, it really does seem like the crime is that she has large boobs.
Exactly.
And an ass,
exactly.
And a great waist.
I can be attracted to you, but I can only be attracted to you in a situation where I'm exploiting you, basically.
Exactly. So it's like, one, fuck that.
Yeah.
And also the idea, it's like always like, oh, the kids. I think, you know,
will someone think of the children?
John brought up this point that it's like, well, of course kids are going to sexualize like people and adults who they think like are look sexy or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Because we spend so much time like, denying kids access to knowledge about sexuality. Like, it's always about keeping shit PG for the kids. Mm-hmm. So when someone doesn't conform to that PG image, they might be like, oh boy.
Yeah,
I see breasts. My mom won't let me see those, or something. Or those are bad. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's, of course it's going to be like a fucking, maybe a like a big deal. Like, kids will notice, but I don't think it's not stopping kids from like reading.
It also doesn't really matter what the teacher is wearing. No. Like, if the teacher's hot, kids are dicks. You know, like, okay, fourth grade kids maybe not, but at a certain point, they're going to sexualize teachers anyway because they're sexual beings.
That's what I did.
Yeah. That's what we all did.
Oh my God. No, it was sixth grade. I had a crush on this one teacher. Mm-hmm. But like, people have sexuality. Mm-hmm. We are sexual beings. Mm-hmm. Unless you're an asexual being. But, you know.
Fuck you. We're going to eliminate you from this conversation.
Sorry. Sorry.
Damn.
So, yeah. The point that was being brought up in this thing is that usually women of color are
curvier.
Usually curvier.
And y'all flat-ass white hoes. Sorry.
Which is just all the, you know.
I had to put it in there.
It's been said, and it will not be removed, I hope.
No, I'm keeping it in
there.
It
needs to be said. But, yeah. So, it's like, we're told, basically, this like, conflicting message that by not being, like, the love interest on TV or on magazines, like, curvy people are just not there, women of color are not there. We're told that we're not attractive and not desirable. Mm-hmm. But when we wear just basic bitch shit, you know, like, if you have an ass that exists,
it can't get in.
It's like, oh, you're too sexy, tone it down. Mm-hmm. So, like, we're told we're not desirable, but also our bodies aren't appropriate. Mm-hmm. And that's just stressful.
Yeah.
And it's like stupid.
That's where it's like, I'm not going to conform to what you say I should do, and I'm going to dress like this to work because I'm not harming anybody. Exactly. And this is like what happens.
And it's people just, so it, exactly. You go and you just try to live your fucking life.
Yeah. But people track down your fucking Instagram and then post all these goddamn pictures about you.
Yeah. And it's like,
write articles about you. Exactly. Talk about you on their podcast.
But except we're defending.
Pronounce your name wrong.
We're just gonna make an example of you.
Yeah.
But we're gonna, I wanna, she commented, one of her comments, which is, what you should expect from a teacher who's doing her job is, I just wish they would respect me. Mm-hmm. And focus on the positive and what truly matters, which is educating the children of the future generations and providing and caring for them. So, like, I wonder, of course, you're capable of thinking about two things at the same time. Mm-hmm. But, like, the people that are making a big deal out of teacher bae and being like, oh, she should cover up. Mm-hmm. Are you also concerned about, like, do you know that a bunch of students from Detroit are suing the government for their, because they feel like their right to an education is being violated because they don't have textbooks sometimes, or they just don't have, like, teachers, so they'll just be sent to the gym. Like I wonder, like, it's like, what is it, concern trolling, like, oh, what about those kids? But do you really care about the kids of America?
No.
Nah, you just have some shit that you want to say and get off your chest.
Exactly.
And frustrate
people. You have some fucked up views about women that you need to deal with on your own.
Exactly. So keep that shit to yourself.
Did you hear about the man teacher bae?
No.
He wasn't trending as much, obviously, but there was, like, some, on Facebook or something like that, there was, like, some very attractive guy who was, like, just wearing regular ass clothes, honestly, and he looked good. I think he had a beard or something like that, but there was no, what will the women, girls in the school think?
Because nobody cares about
exactly.
The girls. Nobody cares. Like, it's about, like, distracting the boys.
It's like, if there's a fucking teacher who has muscles and he wears shirts that fit and you can see his muscles, is that then inappropriate?
No.
Should he start wearing shirts that don't fit?
You're right, that sounds really stupid.
Like, is this woman supposed to wear a fucking burlap sack every goddamn day?
No, because then if she wears a burlap sack or goes, like, full burka, then it becomes a problem. Then it's a cultural issue of security. It's like, you can't win. Because, like in France, like, the burka was banned or whatever. She just goes burka. Like, there's nothing.
Like there's nothing else I can do.
Women just can't win sometimes. It's like, please.
Like, imagine a last resort. Like, I gotta do it. I gotta go full burka. And she, like, opens up this back part of her closet or something like that.
Or there's a button that says full burka and it's like a hole.
Yeah. We all gotta reserve that right to go full burka.
Imagine, like, that scene in The Matrix.
Uh-huh.
Where she's just, like, in white void and it's like,
all of the burkas come out?
We need burkas. Lots of burkas.
Oh, that's funny.
So, people...
No shade to burkas, though.
There's no shade whatsoever. Yeah, there's no shade. It's just like, either you cover up your whole body or you wear some clothes that fits your body.
Yeah.
Or you wear something too loose and suddenly, like, you should spice it up a little bit. Show off your figure.
Exactly.
Yeah, so fuck them. Fuck everybody.
Yeah.
She has not been fired. People are saying that.
Yeah.
She...
Correct us if we're wrong, but I have not found that. I think I saw one fake article like that.
I saw several articles. A news... It was like a local news site said, mm-hmm. Atlanta Public Schools can confirm that Ms. Brown is a paraprofessional employed with the district. She was given guidance regarding the APS employee dress code, the use of social media, and Georgia Code of Ethics for Educators. And she has been cooperative in addressing her presence on social media. Which I kind of hate that anybody had to step in, because I feel like nobody would have given a fuck.
Yeah.
But she's not being... I don't think she's being disciplined. It doesn't sound like she is.
No, they just stepped in because they had to at that point.
Yeah,
because
it's like a
just
national
going viral
thing.
In your... Yeah.
Yeah, and so
her
Instagram is now private, but she has mad followers now. She's 125,000 or so.
Mm-hmm.
So...
And how many of them are guys who are just like
creeps and shit?
Show me that, baby. Show me that.
Yeah, that's not always.
It's like, how about you show your son how the fuck you treat women?
It was pretty amazing. I wasn't ready for the amount of detailing that was in the work, the beating, the sequining. It was amazing. I loved it.
Speaking of full burkas, first this is a terrible transition and a bad joke, but New York Fashion Week happened this week, and. Indonesian fashion designer, Anissa Hasibuan.
I'll give it to you.
Thanks. She's the first Indonesian fashion designer to debut her work at New York Fashion Week. She's Muslim. And she's the first designer to feature an entire collection of outfits, all including burkas. Oh, no!
It's hijab.
Fuck, let me try that again. Burkas,
she went full burka.
It's never gonna leave.
Isn't that a coincidence?
Damn. Let me try that again. She is the first designer at New York Fashion Week to include all of her outfits in her collection. They all have hijabs, which is really great. I know the difference between a hijab and a burka. It was just stuck in my head. Like, I know the difference. I don't want to become like that white guy. Like, I had a lot of Muslim friends growing up. I did.
We all had burkas.
Anyway, so the collection is called Day
Jakarta.
Except it looks like Jayakarta, but why wouldn't it be Jakarta?
I don't know. Sometimes you put Y's in there for fashion purposes. Like, why is haute couture spelled like that?
Yeah.
Because it's French, but still.
48 outfits. They're supposed to be like ready to wear looks.
Mm-hmm.
They're all like mad high fashion because it's like New York Fashion Week.
Yeah.
But 48 looks, 10 of them are evening gowns. The other 38 should be able to just wear them on the street.
Mm-hmm.
They look fucking baller as hell. Like, I love them. They're gorgeous. They all have hijabs, and the hijabs are like dope as hell. You know, she's mm-hmm. a fashion designer, and they match. It looks good, and she's only been doing this for a year. if that makes you feel,
man, that's when it's like, what am I doing with my life?
I love that. And she's like. She got a standing ovation as well, which mm-hmm. apparently is a rare thing.
Wow, I didn't know that.
She said she just wants to, she hopes that people can learn more about Indonesia through her fashion.
That's dope.
And, which I think it's bold, and I don't want to call it, like, I think people would mistakenly call it brave. Maybe I did it just now calling it bold, but, like, it shouldn't be such a big deal that... all these looks have hijabs because, mm-hmm. I mean, there's entire parts of the world where that's just the standard way. Mm-hmm. And, like, I have a whole bunch of all my Muslim friends, all my hijabi friends that I'm showing off about, mm-hmm. Are highly fashionable. I feel like people have this, like, idea about, like, that, like, otherizing other people, mm-hmm. otherizing, like, Muslim women, saying, like, oh, it must be so hard to be fashionable. It must limit you if that you have to dress a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, number one, you don't have to cover your head. It's not mandatory.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, if you choose to do so, you can do it in any way that is comfortable and works for you. And, like,
yeah.
people are mad stylish and innovative.
Yeah.
And I feel like people who choose to wear the veil, why is that like that? But that's another way you can say it.
Oh, okay.
I hope I didn't make that up. I'm pretty sure I didn't.
I'll Google it before I leave it in.
Thanks. But people who choose to do that, like, that's their choice and their agency. Like, don't have a whole cultural debate about whether or not they want to do it.
How do you feel about the models?
The diverse array of models that she had? I don't know. They all just look like regular
modelly people than me. I was wondering, like, you know, is it like should you just have what do you call it, only Muslim women modeling like outfits with hijabs? I don't think so. Not for like a, or at least she didn't care.
I mean, ultimately, it's her culture, so I can't really put anything on it, but I don't know. Seems odd to me.
It seems
like this is the type of, like, this is the point where it could either go like, oh, here we have mass cultural acceptance of hijabs and they're normalized and people stop thinking hijab means terrorism and stupid stuff like that, or it could be the point where white people are like, wow, that's really cool, and then they culturally appropriate it and then don't do anything for Muslim people or the things that the types of oppression that Muslim people face in this country anyway.
I don't think it's going to be either of those. Like, I don't think that I think it's cool, but I don't know what, I don't think the social impact is going to, like, because I think about, like, when I think about New York fashion, maybe I'm not, like, that tuned into fashion, but I'm not sure, like, how much, like, really high fashion filters into, like, the people that shop at Forever 21.
Like, I think it gets there.
Maybe eventually. I don't know, scarves, maybe headscarves will be a big deal. People also used to just
bindis
wear
are huge things.
Oh, you're right.
Durags are happening. Cornrows are happening now.
Oh, you're right.
These are like a lot of things from like last season or whatever.
Huh.
Hopefully. And then also, like, I don't know anything about Islam. I don't know anything about any religion. Is it disrespectful to wear hijab if you're not a practicing Muslim?
You know what? I remember a friend saying that her parents think it's like cute when people dress up and like that, because we were doing. I was hanging out with a friend. It was like a birthday and like, she was just giving me her traditional clothes, and she's like, yeah, my parents think it's cute, but sometimes parents aren't always, like, the the most tuned-in people, but it is their culture, but they're also, like, you know, just one-sided people.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's, like, I just wouldn't do it, you know, because I know it means a lot to people, but also, yeah, I wouldn't do it. I'm not going to start wearing, I don't want to, number one, but also I wouldn't actively... I'm just like, I try to be a respectful person.
Yeah, you know? You're doing well.
I try.
Yeah. I don't know. Just questions.
Menstruation. Also called having a period.
Next in women's news. Okay. Woman finds out that her coworkers tracking her period.
What a way to be.
Right? Like, I would be really upset.
Me too.
There's actually a joke in Parks and Rec where, like, Leslie Knope is with a bunch of governors or whatever, and they're just like, oh, is it that time of the month again? And I was just like, that doesn't happen, but it was hilarious.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, fuck. So this woman in Australia was hanging out with a so-called friend. Just put friends in quotes, because he's not your friend.
Good friend, yeah.
Because it started off, they got into an argument. Not even an argument. So her friend, let's call him Dick. Dick told her that she was probably single because she talked back too much, and she broke down in tears and started crying.
Mm-hmm.
Dick was like, oh, I didn't know you were on your period. If he had told me, you know, I would have saved me some apologizing or whatever. And then she's just like, how did you know I was on my period? And then it was revealed that he had been tracking her period. So many things wrong with that.
That's when it was revealed? I thought that's when he started.
That's how he found... I don't know. I thought that's how he found out. She found out that he was doing it.
So why did he say you should have told me?
Yeah, it's weird.
If he was tracking it, he already knew. So then he's strange. An extra dickhead.
He's like,
let me just test out this situation.
So the origin story is a little shaky. Point being, he's tracking her period. Something happened when they got into an argument and he was being a dick.
I'm so annoyed that, I'm annoyed at everything, but, like, you know, some people's periods do affect them emotionally.
Yeah.
Not everyone, but specifically me, it does affect me emotionally. But, like, afterwards saying something like, oh, I didn't know you were on your period, that's not a good thing to say to someone who's already going through fucking hormonally caused emotional trauma.
Yeah.
Like, just because it might not matter to me a couple of days from now doesn't mean it doesn't matter to me in this very moment and that it didn't hurt. You know?
Exactly.
That's not the thing to fucking say to someone.
And also,
it's like, if somebody's pet dies, they're gonna be sad for a couple of fucking days, so you don't go, oh, your pet died, that's why you're sad.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter why I'm fucking sad.
It's very condescending.
It is.
It's the essence of condescension.
Like, what if a guy, I don't know, was going through something at home or whatever, and it was going based on, like, certain flare-ups. I don't know what the fuck would cause that or whatever, but something. Maybe every time his mortgage was due, It caused him emotional stress.
I was going to say rosacea.
His mortgage is due every month on the 5th, and that week he gets, like, fucking panicked and annoyed because he has financial stress. Do you start fucking tracking when his bills come around and when he starts being a dickhead at work?
No, you don't.
Like, periods are real things that people fucking go through. Just because it's our period and, like, male-bodied people don't have them doesn't mean it doesn't mean anything that it's a fucking joke, you know?
Exactly.
People actually get fucking depressed during their periods.
Yeah, it's, like, it's really bad PMS.
Dickheads,
and, you know, and it would be better if people cared enough instead of saying, oh, that's just how women are.
Exactly.
People had invested in science to make our periods better and more manageable. Exactly. Maybe some people wouldn't be having these fucking issues.
Definitely doesn't help to track her period and call her a car.
Share it with all her other coworkers.
Well, yeah,
he was asked, like, oh, how do you feel about your behavior? And he's like, oh, it's probably not professional, but I'd like to think that we were friends. So it was okay. I'm just like, was she friends with everybody else in that office? You know, like, did she say, oh, you can totally share this personal information with everybody? Mm. So he's not your friend, girl, if you're listening. You're not. I know you're not, but
that's not
your friend. And then it's just like, it's also just assuming that we just don't have control over, like, not everybody has control over their emotions. Mm-hmm. But it's also like, I don't know.
Well, I mean, also just because she had her period doesn't mean what he said in the first place wasn't a hurtful thing to
say.
Exactly.
It was definitely worthy of tears. You were being a dick.
Yeah.
He's just like being like a patriarchal asshole.
Exactly.
Like, it's so consistent. It's just like, oh, here's toxic masculinity.
Exactly. And then when being confronted with it, he's like, oh, really? Oh, I didn't know. I just thought it was a normal thing. Because I'm a dickhead and this is the world I live in. Taught me to be a dickhead.
Yeah,
so there's apps for this?
Yeah, there are apps to track other people's periods.
One of the apps.
Okay. Rude.
Please tell us the names.
So there's PMS Buddy, which isn't available anymore.
Good.
There's My Mate, and then there's I Am A Man.
That is so stupid. Oh my God.
People don't think that gender matters and that feminism is pointless.
Exactly.
But, like, when you really look at people's, like, what motivates people's, like, dick behavior.
Exactly. Just blatant.
No, it's fucked up. None of these are available on iTunes because, through iTunes because they're, they're not, you can't purchase them, like, at the normal place because they're shitty.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Good job, Apple. Even though there was a fucking, what is it? Workplace harassment Apple story?
Yeah.
That was also circulating.
So, good job, Apple, but also do better.
Yeah, exactly. Let me download iOS 10, goddammit, please.
How to choose a sperm donor. Tall, dark, and handsome is nice, but there are more important things to look for when choosing half the genetic makeup of your child.
77-year-old Indiana doctor Donald Klein was busted for using his own sperm to inseminate women. So, how it began, two sisters...
Two sound jerked off a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot. It's like, I gotta do it for the ladies. I gotta help. I'm making a jerking off motion. So two sisters, both around the same time, became curious about their origin, just where they came from.
Yeah.
One of them went to a fertility website. The other one knew that her mother had used Dr. Klein's services,
mm-hmm.
and asked Dr. Klein, hey, can I see some information about where I'm from and whose sperm it was? And he's like, oh, I shredded those records. He just said he didn't have the records. So,
so oh, you shredded them, all right.
Right? Like, you shredded them on purpose. Oh, so the sisters... they found each other on some, like, a sperm donor reconnection site,
mm-hmm.
Which is really cool. And they did a DNA test, and they found they were related to 7 other people.
Mm-hmm.
The relation was through... This is where I get a little confusing, because I don't know much about, like, fertility and how it works. But basically, mm-hmm. they found the strongest connection to Dr. Klein's son, Doug Klein.
Oh, no.
So they confronted... They were talking to Doug. They were like, yo, Doug,
good.
What's going on? And then Doug was like, yeah, my dad did this thing. And so five of the siblings
mm-hmm.
confront Dr. Klein.
Can you imagine? They just rolled up on him.
Yeah, it's like, yo, we're your daughters. He's like, oh, shit.
Why did Doug Klein rat him out?
Maybe he knew his... Maybe he felt bad because that's like a weird situation.
Yeah, they're just all at your doorstep. It's like, like, how do you let them know?
Yeah.
What do you say to them? Obviously, you're related.
It's like, hey, girl.
Hey, lady.
How do you know?
He Good probably night. Knows the women, when you call it.
I'm sure he remembers the women that he did it to.
No, how did Doug know?
Oh, I don't know why Doug and Donald would be talking
Maybe
about
Maybe Doug just surmised it. He's like, okay, my dad is an insemination doctor, and seven people randomly said that they're related to me.
So...
his actual son.
And which would make sense.
Yeah, if his son knows anything about, like, how... what is that? Genetics work?
It's, like, very basic genetics. It's really basic.
We have the same dad.
I just imagine the five of them, like, going on, like, some mystery, like, sleuthing, and he's like, that is curious. Very curious. Like, a very, like, Nickelodeon kind of thing. So, they gang up on him. Turns out that he, what do you call it? He was doing this thing.
Yeah.
His excuse was that he felt bad because they didn't always have fresh sperm.
Okay, so, Doug.
And he was telling people that he was using fresh sperm from medical students or residents, which was also, that's weird to me.
Yeah.
But I guess when you're doing, I think you can choose, like, the kind of person that you're getting the sperm mm-hmm. from that's a profile. Because mm-hmm. people like doctors. Yeah. Fuck you for not supporting the arts. but yeah. So, Klein, he retired in 2009.
He got out.
He might be, what do you call it? He hasn't got, his court date is set, but he's being charged for obstruction of justice because he lied twice about saying that he didn't know about this.
Oh, wow.
I'm not sure what the charge is in connection with the insemination, mm-hmm. but yeah, so he's going to court.
What was the profile for his sperm, though? Like, was he just telling people exactly him, basically? Donor X looks a lot like Donald Klein. Like,
looks a lot like me, but it's my twin.
Doctors, same age. Like,
yeah, it's weird. And he's probably older. Like, you bought young people's... you probably want, like, really young people's sperm. So you'd be just lying to people, and it's like...
I don't know how sperm works, though. Is sperm, like, worse in older dudes?
Oh, I thought it was.
Lucas is saying, yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was. Sperm does change, right?
Damn, son.
It's a lot of them, though. It's a lot of sperm.
Yeah.
In one person. Well, majestic. Over the years, I guess shit changes, right? Like, our eggs just don't do well.
It's just so funny to me. Like, there's no fresh sperm. Oh, wait. We just got a new batch. Like, just give me a second. Let me just look. And he goes in, like, the bathroom with, like, a porn magazine. He, like, hands it to them, and it's, like, dripping and shit like that.
It's still hot.
Oh, God.
That's worth it. That's worth it.
It's very suspicious.
That's
epic. Some sad news here. A Houston mother, Kendra Childs, 19, was shot dead in her home.
Mm-hmm.
She had a toddler who was mm-hmm. also left behind. What makes this, I mean, it's really sad, obviously. It was trending, hashtag RIP Kendra, if you saw it. She was threatened by her boyfriend's jealous ex.
Mm-hmm.
Very openly media. On Twitter.
Yeah.
And it was very clear, it was very explicit. I'm going to read the ex's tweets. It says, "Nothing makes me mad about a bitch saying she with my nigga or whatever, because like I tell him, the hoe won't be around for too long." So that's a clear
blatantly.
Threat. And she said, "It's going to work. You'll be gone real..." "It's not going to work. You'll be gone real soon, baby."
She's an actual evil villain.
Then she says, "I think I'm evil enough to eat a motherfucker alive. Like, bitch, I don't give a fuck about you. I'll real life kill you and eat you, bitch." And I think, I don't know if this was the day before, but then the tweet was, "Praying that everything goes good tomorrow, but I know it will," with several, like, prayer hands and, like, smiley emojis.
You can't use prayer hands if you're going to kill someone the next day.
You can't do that.
What the fuck?
You can't. So this woman, I feel like it's very clear. It's like, she has to be a prime suspect.
Yeah.
They're like, we can't find...
There would have to be a lot of coincidences if she didn't do it, honestly.
I was just talking.
Like, wasn't the car that... So they saw a man in the car, right?
Yeah.
But it was still her car.
I didn't know it was her car.
It was a black Maserati or something like that, right?
A black Camaro.
Oh, okay.
If that matters.
She was standing in, like, her profile picture. I don't know why we don't know this woman's name. I guess it's because she's not an actual suspect yet.
I don't know.
But she was standing in front of that car.
Oh, that's why they had that picture of
her.
So, in the car, similar, and there may have been two people in the car. It's also, like, This is going to be a weird critique. I'm like, if you're going to take somebody out, why would you do it in this fashion? But the way she was shot was just through the walls of this like home or whatever, mm-hmm. her apartment. Whoever was shooting didn't really know that she was in the room or who was in there.
Yeah.
Like that, like if the child was home, the kid could have died mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. So this woman is,
dead now. No reason.
Yeah. She's like jealousy, spite. Like you really couldn't live with the idea that your ex was with somebody and like generally doing well. So you had to go and murder that person.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what to think about situations. Like, is this a part where, like, you're mentally disturbed? Like, you have some sort of issue that you need to work out? Or are you just a fucking bitch?
I mean, definitely a fucking bitch. But to, like, take it to that extent, she's obviously, like, the end of the spectrum or whatever. But it's not, like, jealousy and possession and, like, doing fucked up shit, like, bringing bats to, like, women's homes, other women's homes and things like that. Isn't, like, commonplace. Like, these are things that, like, those tweets that you read or whatever, they had, like, a lot of retweets on Twitter. Like, this is, like, culture, maybe not culture, but, like, behavior that's lauded to an extent. Like, I feel like the whole crazy girlfriend thing is, like, a thing that people like now.
Or that
people identify
would,
with.
They would sympathize with, definitely.
I don't think that's okay.
Hating on somebody's ex.
Exactly. It's like a thing. It's like a joke.
And so it's supposed to be a joke. And like sometimes you'll do it with like a friend when you're trying to like get somebody over a breakup. You'll mm-hmm. be like, oh, that bitch ain't even, she ain't shit or whatever. Mm-hmm. But when it's just like, I feel like I don't know if she has friends. Like I really am curious about this woman's life.
She had one friend to drive the car for her. The black Camaro.
Jesus. Yeah. Her friends were.
They're ride or die.
But it shouldn't seem so like out of place, I guess, because like men are often like a lot of violence is committed against women by men, and that doesn't seem that weird, you know. So the fact that this woman would go and murder this girl shouldn't seem so out of place, but it does for some reason. I don't know why.
What do you mean?
Like it shouldn't be like I could easily believe that. A man would do this, but something in my mind just isn't as like I'm a little in disbelief that I can't believe another.
I think it's because men actually do commit more acts of violence, mm-hmm. but I think that in relationships, violence goes both ways, and in a lot of the cases, violence goes like women inflict, or this is just in heterosexual relationships or whatever, mm-hmm. but women inflict emotional pain on men, like threats and violence and things like that. And this is just like a threat come to life, but I mean it's violence too, whether that's your boyfriend or not, like saying like I'll kill the bitch who you're with or I'll kill you, like that's just not communication that should be happening in a healthy relationship. Like that means your relationship is off. Like it shouldn't be that's my man and I'll kill a bitch who comes to my man. Like you shouldn't be putting subliminal things on Instagram like that. Like none of these things should be happening.
No,
but they're so present.
Maybe he saw you for the evil motherfucker that you were, and
yeah,
left
like
and
she's
tried to
fucking
live a
crazy.
Life.
Yeah.
So that's and it's like a scary thing about relationships is like you. I wonder like how much can you know who you're really getting like down with or in business with? I feel like you can, but like. When you come across someone who terrifies you and you're like, oh, oops, this was a mistake ever associating. Like, the fact that you know where I live, that's bad. Mm-hmm. That's why it's, like, kind of, it seems, like, hard to stop certain kinds of violence. Because it's like, well, they're saying all this stuff, but it's only online. Mm-hmm. But it's not, like, if somebody said that to, like, your face, mm-hmm. I feel like then you can get a restraining order, call mm-hmm. the cops, and be like, I'm being threatened. I don't know what it's like.
I feel like it's not out of the realm of possibilities that this woman wasn't harassing that other woman, though, honestly. Like, if she's that out of it that she's going to do something. I don't even want to say out of it. I don't think she would. I don't want to like be ableist or anything like that. I just want to call her a bad person or whatever. But if she was that evil of a person, she was probably stalking. Like she knew where they lived or whatever. She was probably like calling her phone.
You're right.
Fucking doing shit on that Kendra's social media and stuff like that.
Yeah, until you have to.
But like, it's just so a part of the culture, or whatever. Especially they're both young. This woman was 19. Kendra was 19. I'm assuming the ex was probably young too.
She didn't look that old.
It's so in the culture of like, yeah, I'm gonna fuck that hoe up and blah blah blah. That nobody was probably taking it seriously or whatever.
Oh, interesting. That's even Beyonce's.
I'm gonna fuck me up a bitch. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, violence is very normalized.
That's why I advocate for polyamory. And healthily sorting through jealousy.
Exactly. Or And that's the way we think about relationships. Mm-hmm. You do not own the person you're with.
Yeah.
You are not entitled to their body.
Yeah.
So if you start to get upset because they're acting in a way you don't want them to act, unless it's actively hurting you, calm the fuck down, because that's an individual separate from you.
Mm-hmm. And like, or, you know, like, we are in, like, I get jealous sometimes. I get jealous a lot. We're in a culture that normalized monogamy for us. You know, talk it out. Talk out the jealous feelings you're doing. Yeah. You don't have to go to 10 that fast.
No.
You probably never have to go to
10. You never need to get to 10.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe 10 could happen by accident. Start at 4.
Start at 4, maybe. Yeah. Try to reel it back.
It's like someone, like, you find out someone does something and you're just pissed off immediately. Mm-hmm. Like, so, you know, sometimes you get mad. Mm-hmm. But then it's just like, oh, I'm sorry. Let's talk or whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you never have the right to hurt somebody.
Yeah.
You just don't have that. Let's all give a round of applause to Diego, a Galapagos giant turtle who's 100 years old, who basically brought his entire species out of existence by fucking...
Out of extinction.
Out of... Oh. No, that it's a really sad story. Let's applaud Diego for fucking a species to death. He revived his entire species with the help of course, all of the lady turtles who bore all those kids,
mm-hmm.
or shed out those eggs, whatever turtles do. But so,
tell us how many offspring.
Yeah, so he's fathered about 800.
That's 800 amazing.
Turtles. That's amazing. Tortoises.
Yeah.
Difference between a tortoise and a turtle, by the way. Turtles are mostly...
One is easier to spell.
Yeah, one is easier to spell and lives on land, which is, like, mostly tortoises, and then turtles are the swimmers.
I get it. Thank you.
Yeah, so he's basically fathered 40% of the current population. That's crazy. Which is going extinct.
Look at me using the word crazy.
Yeah, so the island they were on, Española, which I thought it was funny that it's also called Hood Island.
What's up with that?
It's named after some dude named something Samuel something Hood. It's just called Hood Island now. That was funny to me.
These niggas in the hood.
Yeah. Right.
Uh-oh. Having 800 kids.
Yeah, it's so bad. I was also
thinking
like the hood of the penis? Yeah.
There's a lot that
I don't know what a turtle dick looks like.
You know, I don't think I want to know, because I personally think Diego looks disgusting. He looks mad, and his mouth looks like it's sewn shut, but he's 100 years old.
Yeah, he's very old. He's very aged. But I think that turtles might be cuter than tortoises.
Yeah, no, tortoises are fucking disgusting. 50 years ago...
Who would fuck Diego? I mean, come on.
Like, I wouldn't fuck Diego, if I'm being honest about it.
I'd watch some Diego porn. Honestly.
Oh, no.
Save your species. 21. Hood Island Adventures.
It's a good porn series. Oh, jeez. This is so fucked up. This is a good Adult Swim cartoon.
Oh,
50 years ago, it was just Diego and, like, 12 lady tortoises.
Wow.
Now there's about 2,000.
He was fucking his kids.
Yeah, how's this going to work with, like,
No, I think he was just fucking the 12 of them repeatedly.
Over and over. It was only them? It was only the 13 of them just going?
I mean, that's what happens when your species is close to extinction. It gets weird.
I don't know, because then those...
How's that going to work with, like...
I don't think they could have him fucking his own kids. That seems unethical.
Well, he can fuck his kids. Those lady tortoises were getting older, too.
We were applauding Diego, and now let's all collectively boo Lonesome George, who was in a similar position to...
Oh, man.
I'm sure the scientists fucking hated him. He was in a similar position to Diego, mm-hmm. but he refused to breed in captivity, so his entire species went extinct.
Man, so that's what it's like.
George,
that makes you feel weird about your femininity. Like, damn, am I that ugly, George? You don't even want to save the population with
me?
He
just didn't. He didn't.
Maybe he didn't like women turtles.
Or he just wanted it all to end.
Yeah,
I have no faith in this.
I'm on this island nobody knows about. I'm not allowed to.
Let's just kill it off, guys. Why
yeah.
Not?
Like, so
we had a good run, guys.
We did our best as a species, but, you know, we're at the bottom.
Sometimes it just doesn't work out.
Let's leave it up to Diego.
Which, all of this gives me the question of, why can't artificial insemination work for endangered species? I don't know.
Dr. Klein is not around.
Yeah, you're right.
You need a Dr. Klein.
Oh my God.
I don't know the answer to your actual question. Stories
connected in such weird ways. It's such strange ways.
I'm just imagining turtles going full bird.
Because they're just like, they're like, Diego, I really don't want this. You got, don't look at me. You don't want to get that horny look in your eyes. Let me cover my
mouth. The last story just like kind of collapsed into the rest of the podcast.
Yeah. Oh, really bad transitions.
Just. So dumb.
That's it for fuck that. Now on to fuck it. This is the topic of about our lives. It's just a lie. I'm so sorry.
The topic of the day. And today we're talking about marriage.
To begin, I would like to propose to Sam. I'm not really proposing. I'm just going to read you a funny wedding vow.
Okay. Thanks for getting my hopes up.
But I'm going to put your name in it.
Okay.
And my name in it.
Good.
So I, Shanika, take you, Sam, to be my awful wedded wife, to have and to scold from this day fast forwarded, for better but not worse, for richer and poorer, forget sickness only in health, to loathe and to cherish till suspicious death do we part. Where to begin? I'll start off with, I am very suspicious of marriage. Like, I react to it negatively. But I also would love to have a wedding, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like the way my relationship is working out, marriage sounds like a great option for me. But I don't like it.
Well, personally, I was like, man, that's dumb. Because I just, you know, the whole statistic where it's like 50% of marriages end in divorce anyway. I was like, well, this isn't something that I need to do to validate my love for someone. So it's no point. But, you know, when you get older and your healthcare starts ticking on your parents and you got to jump to someone else. I'm like, this marriage option is looking real good now that I think about it, honestly.
Get married 26.
Yeah. And then also, like, finances making more sense and like doing your tax write-offs together and stuff like that, and then like if and when illness comes up, if something happens, like if you want to have somebody. A child with that person, they'll be like, hey, you know, I don't want her in a coma, I do want her in a coma. So like legally I think it makes sense, and then in terms of like just having a committed everlasting bond with someone, in the theory of it all, I think that makes sense too.
Yeah, I feel like it seems okay.
Yeah,
but I think it's not, like, I don't think it's, like, not very possible for some people.
I understand that as an institution that is enforced on a lot of people, or, like, ideologically enforced on a lot of people, it is probably oppressive.
Yeah.
But I think that I could fit in there in a good way.
But it'll work for me.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's, this is just where it's like a circle jerk. So I think because we have healthy standards of relationships. You have
great relationships, great guys.
Yeah, let's talk about some concepts of marriage, or concepts that revolve around marriage. Mm-hmm. The idea of, like, marriage and romance. Mm-hmm. So when you think marriage, it's supposed to be two people wildly in love.
Forever.
Forever. Nothing
at
changes.
The height of their love or, like, affection or whatever other things are thrown into that for each other at every moment in time.
Exactly. And then they should stay together at all costs as well. Mm-hmm. Even if something goes wrong, you should just really make it work.
Tough it out.
Work. Or you just deal. You know, it's like, okay, our marriage is dead, but we're married. We can't get divorced, so. Yeah. Divorce being, like, a sin?
Is it a sin?
I think it's not. I think you're not supposed to get divorced if you're very religious. I remember a conversation with a friend who's very religious, very well-read. Mm-hmm. How biblically, ouch, it's like you're supposed to stay with that person because you've pledged before God. Mm-hmm. Like you made a commitment and a bond with God that you would stay with this person, and you being divorced is not...
And that's where it's fucking oppressive. Like, what if it's an abusive relationship or whatever, you know?
Yeah,
or like, what if now that you're married, like, you forewent, like, if you went the traditional route of marriage and like the woman was financially dependent on the man because she like stopped working or whatever. Mm-hmm. Now it's oppressive again because you don't have a means out.
Exactly. You can't leave it.
Yeah. Which is, it's oppressive because up until like 2 years ago, same gender marriages couldn't happen.
That was 2 years ago?
Yeah. It's very recent.
Why does
right?
that feel like this
that was
summer?
Like, no, that was like the June before this June.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I think talking about marriage can sometimes be like the same conversation when you're talking about just like a regular ass relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because like in theory, I feel like the same like good communication. Like communication is key.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's...
Yeah, I don't think anything really changes, you know? Especially if you're, like, living together beforehand.
Yeah. Like, if I married John, I guess our families would be like, oh...
They would approve of it, finally. Not that they don't approve of you, but, like...
It's, like, official.
Exactly. Like, families take it seriously.
Yeah, our families, like, up until you're married, they're just like, oh, that's your...
Your little friend there.
Exactly. Oh, your
That's
first,
your husband now.
Oh,
like,
your
there's no in-between.
Boyfriend? That's what somebody said to me, and I was like, why would you... You do that,
yeah.
Why
that's
you
annoying.
Say that to me. That was mean.
Yeah,
some mean family members.
I'm sorry.
I think like the idea of committing yourself to be with somebody for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's like too much, though. Like mm-hmm. you have to like. I feel like it doesn't like allow room for what do you call it, like growth or change
mm-hmm.
because like I may think now like I would really love to be with John for the rest of my life, but like what if something happens and, like, he's just a radically different person.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, you know, some life event happens and suddenly, why? I just feel like he becomes, like, a heroin dealer. I don't know. Like, something, just, like, I'm trying to think of, like, what could I not...
Immediately have the image in my head.
It's like, yeah, I feel like... So, oh, you know, here's the... Because I was reading this article. And it was about a woman who's in an open marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of stuff about the open marriage concept really appeals to me,
mm-hmm.
anyway.
You don't say.
Yeah. So this woman from this article, damn, I should know her name, you know, in this account about an open marriage. So it's her and her husband, and then they have a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And they, when they got married, they, her and the husband, when they got married, they did like a special like Buddhist style service or whatever, where what... I'm just like, you're just appropriating the shit.
Right.
But the concept was of impermanence. And, like, they went into their marriage saying, hey, divorce isn't, like, it can happen.
Be all end all.
Yeah, and it's okay for us to grow and change. And eventually we could grow and change and not want to be married. So entering into this commitment, we're saying, hey, we are just saying that we love each other and care for each other. And then even if we, are no longer in love or no longer feel like we want to continue this union,
mm-hmm.
we will go our separate ways amicably, you know?
That's beautiful.
Right? I feel like, and that's, like, a very good way of accepting, I don't know, like, the idea of, like, permanence, like, that's supposed to be, like, toughen it through. So this writer from The Atlantic wrote this really mean thing about marriage, like, it was just really angry,
mm-hmm.
but I liked it. He had this interview about, like, the romance of permanence and how the idea of, like, toughing something out is actually very it's like counterproductive to relationships and is actually into many people it's just like unnatural
because
mm-hmm.
You're yeah. not like working on what's actually souring the relationship, which is something that could ultimately not be able to be worked on. You're just focusing on saving the marriage,
yeah,
as if the marriage as a thing is more important than either of you, yeah.
As two individuals.
Yeah.
So this woman was also talking about how polyamorous marriages also take the burden off of, like, raising kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have, like, if you're gonna, like, be in it, like, family style, like, polyamory, like, everybody either lives together or they're around raising kids together, it's actually better off for that kid
mm-hmm.
because, like, they get more attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, somebody's always going to be at their dance recitals.
Aww.
Unless it's, like, three busy-ass adults who hate you. Like, that would suck for you.
Yeah.
But she was like, yeah, sometimes me and Bill, I'm just making up names, mm-hmm. me and Bill will go on vacation for a week and what's-his-name say some of the kid, or they'll go camping and I'll hang here, or we'll all go vacation together.
Mm-hmm.
But it just seemed like a really good thing to be like, okay, someone's doing the chores while we're nurturing,
mm-hmm.
or we're relaxing. Because I think with, like, parenting with families, like, you're just, like, with... Or when you're trying to be with somebody every day for the rest of your life, you're going to butt heads with them. There's going to be tension.
Yeah.
So it seems like it allows you, like, space, which
yeah.
I think is really important in keeping relationships, like, fresh and not, like, fucking suffocating.
Totally.
So being in open marriage, I would fucking love that. But also, who's this third person? Like, I got to fall in love with the third person.
My question that's going on there is, mm-hmm. that's their boyfriend, so they're both dating him as well?
Yeah, they're both dating him.
Oh, okay. Because there's so many ways that, like, polyamorous marriages can work out. It could be like one woman married to many men, which is my eventual future. It could be one man married to many women, or a whole bunch of people married to each other.
Yeah so hers is they're both dating this guy. I feel like I wouldn't want to do the kind of thing where it was like, I wouldn't want to live your life where I'm one woman.
You wouldn't want to live my life?
No, the many men, your future life.
Yeah.
Because I feel like having to keep up so many different relationships. I don't know why I'm thinking like you're dating seven people. You're
I
dating
am.
Seven people.
I only tell you about two, but I'm dating seven.
There's Ethan. There's Fromer.
Fromer. Fromer's my least favorite. I'm going to drop him very soon.
That stupid name.
Yeah, exactly.
So I feel like the burden of like being in a marriage to so many people. Because for me, it seems like marriage is like a commitment. Like, I feel like you can't half-ass a marriage, but also, you could have, like, a person you're married to who you just see, like, once every 3 months and it's good and fine and dandy.
If you are both okay with it.
Yeah, if that's, like, if those are your terms.
I mean, one thing that would be easier in the situation you're talking about where one woman is married to many men or whatever is if the men actually get along, and then they might not be providing each other romantic support, but they could at least be friends, and then everybody is supportive of each other, you know?
Yeah.
It sounds like I'm sending a subliminal message, but I'm totally not saying that, guys. I just want that to be really clear. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's not it. That's not what's happening here.
Yeah.
But, like, I think, I feel like there's just so much freedom in that. And I guess I don't see the need to commit yourself to somebody, to, like, publicly commit yourself to somebody, outside of legal shit. Like, the idea of romantically commit yourself to somebody for life seems harmful and unnecessary.
Ideologically, I totally agree with that as well.
It's like, fuck that
I
shit.
Just want insurance and a party.
Right? I want to celebrate a union. I think you can celebrate, like, hey, we're going to be together forever. But I feel like if you are going to do that, then, like, why not just get the fucking legal benefits?
Yeah. I would also like to do that, like, every year.
Yeah, like, what is it? Anniversary parties.
Yeah, exactly. It's not going to be, like, a huge party.
Yeah. Here we go. Oh, and then this woman was also saying that being in, like, a relationship where they are open to just like they're okay with impermanence and things changing. It's like, instead of, like, saying, oh, our relationships are successful because they went on for a long time, in which case you could have an abusive relationship for years, your whole life.
Yeah,
that doesn't mean you had a successful relationship.
Exactly. So true. My parents have been married 40 years, but do they like each other?
Exactly. But instead of, like, saying our relationship is good because it went on for a long time, you can say, you can judge it based on other things, like how free did you feel to be yourself in this relationship? How did you guys weather difficult life events in this relationship? You know, how many successes did you both experience together? Like, basically, like, things that I think would make a relationship good, like, quality-wise. Like, why aren't those, like, good milestones, you know, versus the long, oh, we trucked it through, we, like,
totally true.
We kept nothing, it fresh.
Nothing in life lasts forever. Not even life.
Not even life.
Why do forever things get all of this, like, hoorah about them, you know?
I feel like
I don't want to be at the same job for 40 years and the job sucks.
No, me either.
I just don't even want to be at the same job for 40 years.
I've been
in
my job
general.
For, like, a year.
It's too much.
I'm like, I need to not see this hallway ever again. Just little spaces.
Yeah,
like, divorce doesn't have to be a bad thing. And it can be complicated and messy if, like, people are, you know, you don't leave on good terms. But if you're just like, hey, we've moved on. Like, what was Louis was saying, like, no good marriage ever ended in divorce. And it was like, yeah, that's true. It's like, you should celebrate a divorce. You should celebrate a change and being like, okay, we both knew each other enough and respect each other enough to get out of it ahead before shit got messy.
Yeah. And if it worked out. If you go into it with that mindset, then things are more likely to end well.
Yeah. And I guess there's also the pressure, like, people pressuring you. Oh, you know what? So it's the idea that marriage is a sacred thing is, like, another theme I want to talk about. Because, like, that's like, behind, like, the big LGBT marriage pushback. Like, people are like, oh, it's sacred. It's between a man and a woman. But it's, like, I think that's, like, people not looking at marriage as the institution that it really is. You know, like, it's tied to, like, health benefits or people's citizenships or it can go wrong.
Beforehand, it was trade.
Yeah, it wasn't even a romantic thing. It wasn't until, like, the Victorian era when people started getting, like, very super romancy. But it was usually, like, you know, I need to make sure that somebody, what do you call it? I have to marry this person to ensure that my land is, like, kept or whatever. I'm marrying them because I need financial whatever.
I didn't even think it was looked at as that much of a romantic thing until, like, very recently. Because before it was just, like, find a good girl, settle down with her. But, like, did you really love that person you met when you were in high school? Or did you just feel pressured by society as a whole?
Yeah, to be... Oh, that's, like, the... What do you call it? Makes me think, like, the 50s. Like, I'm thinking, like, Mad Men, Breaking...
Exactly.
No, I was going to say Breaking Bad. It's the golden age of television. Walking Dead. Masters of Sex and Mad Men. It's just like, oh, I must conform. It's just like... It's like, if you're not married by a certain age, you're undesirable, and that's just another way for people to pick at your femininity and your expression of self. If marriage is supposed to be such a sacred, important thing, why are you trying to rush people into it at these very specific, like, periods
ages,
of time?
Yeah.
It's like between, like, 27 and 35. If you haven't found a sacred bond with somebody by then, you fucked up.
Yeah, exactly.
That's weird to me.
There is this show called, what the fuck is it called? Married at First Sight. Very stupid. What? Me and Akeem love to watch it, though.
It's a good show.
Basically, the premise is, so there's, like, these three experts. One is, like, a matchmaker or something like that. She's, like, a romantic person. One is a psychologist, and one is just a pastor, which is just, like, what the fuck? But, so they go through...
so, like, much shade at the pastor.
Sorry. I'm just, like, why is he an expert on marriage?
Because
he's
there. It doesn't make
because he gives people their vows.
Yeah, it doesn't make
fuck that. But so, like, 30,000 people, like, signed up or whatever, and they picked three couples, and they, like, matchmade out of all of these people, these three specific couples, all heterosexual couples, and they get married once they meet each other, and they, like, give them a trial period. I guess that's how long the show lasts, but it's, like, a legal marriage of 6 weeks to see if they, like, want to continue or not.
Being married?
Yeah, it's really, so they get married right there. They, like, pick out the rings and stuff like that. Both the people's families are there. Once they get married, they, like, have the reception and shit where it's, like, first dance, first kiss. They go on a fucking honeymoon, come back, pick out a house, live in the house, go through, like, their finances and stuff like that.
Wow.
And basically the premise is, like, these people have given up on dating and want to just put it in the matchmaker's hands, and the matchmaker's whole thing is, like, you know, you made a commitment and we want these couples to work within the commitment of marriage, as opposed to like, once they see a flaw in a person, like, giving up on a relationship or something like that. But if you don't agree with a fucking flaw in a person, there's 7 billion other people.
It's okay
here
for you to drop that
exactly
and give up.
And you don't have to feel the need to be married in the first place.
Yeah, word.
The whole premise of the show is really fucked up. Very entertaining, though, I must say.
That's a lot of great shows are fucked up in so many ways.
Yeah, but I mean, these people signed up. So.
It's like a lot of those. It's a lot of those, like, memes you'll see about, like, dating and relationships. Like, stay with somebody who lasts. Like, don't date around. Like, put some time
exactly.
in.
Or if you're not in it for marriage, I'm moving
then
on.
And what's the point? That's how I used to think about, like, very Christian woman back in my day.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I used to think about dating. It's like, oh, you know, why would I? It's not that I dated anybody. Like, my crushes. Would I marry him?
Am I gonna marry Vlad?
Is it worth saying hi? Like,
yeah.
It was nothing.
Yeah.
But, like, that's like a, like, if you're like, oh, do I want this person to be my partner for life?
Mm-hmm.
It's, you have to think about, well, you know, I don't know what that person's gonna be like in
exactly.
50 years.
Exactly.
You know, he could just be a sack of shit later. or you guys could really, like, grow together.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe your relationship style will change. Like, maybe marriages, some of them just suck because, like, people have to do their marriage a certain way. Like, you can have, like, a marriage where you're married to somebody and they live in a different country.
Mm-hmm.
Or you live in different houses. Like, I know, like, couples who, or married couples who just, like, they see each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like you're dating. Like, you have very separate lives, but you're married, and that makes your marriage work.
Yeah. There could be, like, a sexless marriage where you, like, you love that person and you want them, you trust them to be your partner going through life, but you don't want to fuck them anymore. You want to fuck other people.
Yeah.
For, like, a couple of years or forever. But you want to stay with each other.
Couple minutes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, totally. So the idea that, like, marriage carries the burden of, like, that person has to grow with you emotionally. You have to be sexually attracted to them your entire life.
Mm-hmm. Even though they've been shitting with the door open for a number of years.
And you've been smelling it for a number of years.
Yeah. You've seen a human being pass through their vagina.
Yeah, like it's a lot. Like you have to really, like you have to really love that person and want their growth. But I feel like you should also want to love that person enough to be like, well, if this relationship is not helping you,
mm-hmm. love that person enough and yourself enough.
Yeah, because I think there are like bonds that are more like sacred and worthwhile than getting married. You know, mm-hmm. it's like, hey, we're not married, but we're still fucking close as shit, and you're still very important, and I still care about you, and I'll be there for you. Mm-hmm. It's just this whole marriage thing didn't work out, or like yeah. we want different things. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean you have to like cease all contact, and
yeah,
it just gets ugly. I don't know. I think or communication is always key to me. I don't think anything needs to get disgustingly ugly.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But they do for reasons of people not being able to like deal with their own problems and thoughts. They take shit out on you. Mm-hmm. You should be able to understand yourself. Like I feel like if you're gonna go into a marriage for a romance, like I feel like just take time before you get committed to yourself. Like try and get to know yourself, I mm-hmm. guess. Like understand your general personhood, what yeah. upsets you, what your insecurities are, mm-hmm. or try. Before you put your shit on somebody else mm-hmm. and just say, oh, you're my girlfriend or, oh, you're my fiance or my wife. You're supposed to deal with my emotional baggage.
And, yeah.
In which you do sign up to be around that person, but like,
that's why not dating for the sole intention of marrying someone makes sense, because when you date different people, you see like a fuller picture of how you are.
Oh, in different relationships.
Even? Yeah.
Yeah. Like what you, and also what you like and how you react to things.
That too.
Yeah. Dating. I've never thought about dating as a way to find out about yourself, but I agree with that. Mm-hmm. Would you stay unmarried for your entire life?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. I feel like I would, but I know that there would be, like, problems. Like, I would be, like, I wouldn't let myself be pressured into being married mm-hmm. by my family, but I do know that it's gonna be, like, a fucking conversation. People will be upset about it and, like, be some sort of black sheep and people will be talking. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that the stigma is there.
Mm-hmm. So you gotta just be like, fuck off, guys. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I have, what, 3 major hits on ABC? And I'm not married? Oops.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't judge people's marriages. Like, if you marry somebody for their money or whatever, like, it's not that deplorable. Like, unless you're hurting somebody. Mm-hmm. But if that person's just like, yeah, I got mad money, they're probably with me because I'm rich. But also, we generally get along, and you're okay, I'm okay. Mm-hmm. Someone I know mm-hmm. married someone who was much, much older than her, mm-hmm. and then had
sugar
kids.
Daddy situation.
He was like, at least verbally abusive, but he was mad rich. Mm-hmm. He's dead now.
She's got it all,
and she has all of the family's money, and she is investing it in a home that I now have access to. So I'm benefiting
be mad at that.
From somebody marrying
I
rich.
I don't like the fact that he was abusive. But you
no,
know.
No. But it's also like, you know, if she, like, my family doesn't come from a very, like, wealthy mm-hmm. place. So I understand, like,
That was her job for a number of years, yeah. dealing with that abuse, so she yeah. could
she's also
pay out in the end.
She's also an accomplished person, you know, and is, like, very smart and is, like, well-educated and did work, you know, but she was, like...
That was still a job.
She was living at the... Yeah, it was. Dealing with somebody's... It's like acting, almost. It's mm-hmm. like, ugh.
Cha-ching. All right, that's it for marriage for now. Just a little cursory overview of marriage.
Yeah, marriage is a huge topic. So if you guys, if there's anything in particular about marriage, like if you want to do like, I don't know, arranged marriage, gay marriage, talk to people in an open marriage. If you guys have suggestions for where we can travel into marriage, let us know.
We can have a wedding episode one day.
Oh, we definitely have a wedding episode. Because I want to hear the details of your meme wedding.
Yeah.
I want to know.
Then I have to actually just like plan out the actual wedding before the episode.
We plan it on the podcast.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's it for Fuck It!
Now on to Fuck Me!
Segment about our lives.
Yeah.
What's doing with you?
Not much, honestly. Not much that I want to talk about. I've been doing work around the house, and I've been putting on latex gloves a lot lately. And I was like, I like the way that latex feels. Like, maybe Sorry. Sexually, but I'm not sure yet.
You look up, like, latex
nope.
fetish?
Nope.
Are you going to?
Nope, I'm just gonna see what happens.
Just gonna see where it leads.
Yeah.
Huh. Does it turn you on?
A little bit. I just like the way it feels a lot. Like, I feel like I could feel it all over my entire body. Hmm. So I might want to try, like, a latex suit at some point in life, but I also have eczema. And I get very sweaty. But I don't know. I like the way it feels. Like, it feels cool. Yeah, so latex feels nice.
We were on the Waste Off podcast, and who was it, the host, Stacey, was saying that she's like a fabric person. Mm-hmm. She was just saying, yeah, like a nice, sexy, whatever kind of shirt. And I was like, that was the first time I'd ever heard anybody say that. And I was like, that's interesting. I didn't know that people could sexually relate to fabrics.
Yeah.
But we do, right?
Sexually relate to fabrics.
It's like, hey, Silk, how are you doing today?
I'm good, mommy.
How's your erection? It makes sense if, like, silk and lace are the sexy textiles.
Yeah.
Hey.
Good job. But is that because we're told that they're sexy? No, I like the way how silk feels, too. Yeah, but lace, not so much.
Lace can be weird.
I like how it looks.
Yeah.
I like how silk feels.
Oh, man, interesting. Please keep me updated.
Yeah, it might be nothing, but I was just like, you know, it's like the sixth time you put on a latex glove, you got to start thinking about where your life is going.
So, what's going on here?
And then also, sucking dick. I like the way dicks feel in my mouth. And I've been deep throating more than usual lately. I don't know what's up with that either. I guess I'm doing things a lot, and I'm just like, let me think about other things while I'm doing them. I like the way dicks feel.
Oh, I enjoy the feel of a dick in my mouth as well. Mm-hmm. It's, like, fun.
I mean, I liked it because, like, it made the person feel good, but, like, lately I've been, like, really thinking about the sensation of this penis in my mouth.
And it's pleasurable.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I, like, like to have a dick in my mouth. I don't know why I'm laughing so much. It's just you're saying such... It's just this podcast. You're saying very sexual things very casually.
It's the nature of the show.
For some reason.
I like the feeling of a dick in my mouth. Like, is that what you want out of me? We're fucking chilling out.
I don't know.
God damn.
Just chilling.
What more do you want?
But, how has deep throating been?
Good. I haven't thrown up on anyone's penis so far. It's just like, I kind of relax and kind of just let it go.
And I feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How long did it take you to get to a place where it was comfy?
What do you mean?
Like, did you have to work up?
No.
No, it just works.
Yeah. I think I've just been relaxing more.
Okay.
And then kind of trying to enjoy myself more as opposed to being like, I have to deep throat to make you feel good.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good place to be at.
Mm-hmm.
Dope. Maybe I'll try things. I feel like I would enjoy, I think face fucking is like the concept turns me on. But just like.
That's kind of scary because you're not in control. If we think about face fucking in the same way.
Oh, yeah, because they're fucking my face.
Yeah.
There. John would be fucking my face. Yeah. Oh, you're right. But I guess if you're controlling it, then it's better. Well, maybe it's the way that I can work up to the face fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Mine is also short. So me and John started. We've been doing a lot of couple-y things.
Yeah, you guys are totes cutes.
Yes, we're just... Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
We're just like that, you know? Some people have it.
You were just born totes cutes is all.
Yeah, just who I am. I'm lazy, if you guys don't know. Mm-hmm. Well, I do a lot of work, but I'm not good at, like, the self-carry things, like, physically. Mm-hmm. I don't drink a lot of water. I don't always eat regularly. So I think that just leads to me being mad tired. So usually when I come home from work, always, come home, get naked, just lay in bed.
Yep.
Unless the couch is open. Then I get into comfy clothes and I lay on the couch. Mm-hmm. And then I will fall asleep on the couch. John will wake me up and bring me to, he won't carry me, but you know, he'll be like, hey, get up.
He'll escort you over.
He'll escort me to our bed and I will sleep again.
Mm-hmm.
But this time, and usually, this makes me sound gross, but I'll just forget to brush my teeth because I'll just fall asleep.
That doesn't make you sound gross. Plenty of people do
things, that. Because I'm just bad. It's a bad habit.
It's okay.
But this.
As long as you floss.
I did today.
Oh, okay.
Podcast today.
Is over.
Yeah, right? It's too much. But I came home naked on the bed, and I was like, oh, God, I have to brush my teeth. And John was just sitting there. He's like, I can bring you your toothbrush and toothpaste and a cup to spit it in, some water, whatever, to do it. Yeah, and I was just like, no, I should just do it. He's like, no, it's fine. I love to serve you. And that's that was the wording.
Oh, my God.
I'm so lucky. How did he know
that I was a lazy fuck.
So much greatness.
Can't even get out of my own goddamn bed.
So much greatness. Yeah. There's just levels to the greatness of your... Like, first of all, it's a great relationship to be in.
I'm happy about it.
But, like, if you think about the dynamics that women usually serve men, and that in this country, black people served white people.
Yeah. It's revolutionary.
So much going on that is great.
So great.
And you guys actually love and respect and care for one another. It's beautiful. It really is. And he understands racial and gender politics.
Yeah, he's taking a... What does he take? He's taking a, like, a gender study class for, like, historians right now. Mm-hmm. It's only a class I would sit in on. Mm-hmm. And he's, like, always... He's, like, telling me new things. And I'm, like... He said I'm part of the reason why he's studying what he's studying. Why he's studying, like, black studies. And,
oh, my God.
Yeah. Our relationship is great.
Yeah, man.
So, I just heard... I could live to... Not I live to serve you, but, like, he was, like, yeah...
I live to serve you, master. It just becomes worse and twisted in your head.
It's like, wait a second, what happened? But he's just always doing the kindest things for me.
Yeah.
And he never holds it, like, over my head, like, oh, well, I do all this for you. You can't even.
Yeah.
There's so many things I just don't do for him.
Mm-hmm.
I just like to lay on the couch. Like, I think it's because I will just die.
Yeah.
Like, in college, telling the story, like, I was really hungry one night, very mm-hmm. hungry, and then woke up in the middle of the night, hungry, starving. Mm-hmm. I got up, grabbed a handful of Cheerios, ate it, and just suffered through the hunger to fall back
oh
to sleep.
Oh, my God.
I couldn't get up and go to the 24-hour stores around and get food. I was just like, nope.
Why didn't you order something, man?
Because I had my survival drive is low. I just don't do anything. So I think he's just like, if I don't help her, she will die. So I want to keep her here. So that was like a really nice thing to hear. And mm-hmm. I'm like, I feel so loved. And every time he makes me like lunch and it's beautiful. Like he came to lunch. Because I'm like, I don't plan meals. I don't like cook anything. Mm-hmm. I don't cook anything. I haven't cooked anything in a stupid time. Like,
how long has it been?
Except for I maybe made pancakes. I feel like I may have cooked for myself.
Yeah.
Maybe 4 times this year.
Wow.
And I eat food consistently.
No meal. Not a meal.
Nah. Wow. I mean, I make my own smoothies. Okay. Those are easy. But it's crazy. Rice, I don't know what it is. I'm not making. So I'm very spoiled. Jesus. It's crazy. And he'll make me like artisanal ass shit.
Yeah.
He'll be like, here's your tequila sunrise with mint and a cool thing. And here's this fresh. And he's like up to do complicated tests. I'm just like, I'm so hungry.
The drinks that John makes you is kind of like a meme.
What do you mean?
Cardi was like, and then Shanika's Snapchat, it's going to be either a poem or that drink that John makes her. It's always that drink that John makes her. You have an MO. Yeah, you have an MO. Like, we all know.
We all know that I like homemade tequila sunrise with grenadine, one giant circular ice cube, and I take it in an extreme close-up.
Oh, wow. Man. But no, it's a good situation. It is.
Just happy. So that's it. That's my fuck me. Mm-hmm. My life is going okay.
All right.
Well, that's it
for fuck me.
Now on to
fuck you. The segment about your lives.
Thank you for
send all of your stuff to ihupodcast@gmail.com.
That was nice, very smooth.
Thank you. This letter is from Frenchie. Frenchie writes, "Hi ladies.
Hi.
First off, just let me say I literally love your show, and I've put all my friends onto you guys also. This even includes my group me group for the love of Yahtzee, which is a sex positive group for young black women." I don't know how group me really works.
That's fucking cool.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, can I just say thanks a whole bunch for doing that, because Sam and I don't advertise, and we've been growing organically, which means that you guys have been telling people about us, and it means a whole bunch. Thanks, you for
guys.
Keeping us alive.
Thanks, guys. A few weeks back, I listened to your podcast about dating apps. I used to dabble in Tinder back in college, off and on and whatnot. I attempted Soul Swipe. It was a hot mess express. So I finally was like, how bad could Bumble be? In all honesty, I wasn't expecting much. Most of the guys I saw on the app were frat boy white guys whose daddy got them jobs at their Fortune 500 companies. Not really my type, honestly.
Ouch.
However, I did get matched with some black men on there. One seemed super promising, but ended shortly after he realized that apparently him being 30 and I being 23 was too much of an age gap for him. After a lot of hit and misses, I came across this guy who just seemed to be very well put together and had all of the things that I like in a man. We started talking shortly after matching. Things were fine. Not perfect, but just fine. He'd say some off things about women, and that's when the red flag started to pop up. For some reason, we got on the topic of sex, and it quickly went downhill. Oh, no. I told him that I wasn't having sex for a whole year, and he responded with, "You need to learn how to manage your pussy better."
What?
At that point, I was taken aback because that's some truly wild shit to say to anyone. I then responded with, "Why would you say something like that?" And he responds with, "Because it's your fault that you're letting fuckboys fuck you." And that's when he was smoothly blocked... with a D and a T blocked on my phone, because I'll be damned if a fuck nigga talks to me in his hotep ways. So ladies out there, it's still fuck boys on Bumble too. Signed, Frenchie.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you for that warning.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, he's a dickhead.
That's the whole male entitlement. Like, what I can just that tell that you.
Okay to say.
You need to learn how to manage. Like, what he's like. Like,
is my what is pussy a business, first of all? Like, what are you even talking about? Like, manage it better?
Get an get your finances set, in an order. Excel spreadsheet going to monitor.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And the whole you're letting fuckboys fuck you is like women let men fuck them kind of thing. And not we're having sex with each other. I hate that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck that guy. And yeah, no, there's fuckboys everywhere.
What would the...
There's like, no dating app that's like a no fuckboy type situation. Oh,
yeah, because you can't filter people.
Yeah.
Like, that's a part of dating is experiencing the fuck.
Yeah.
The fuckboys and the...
Bumble was people. Just like people who had better pictures and people on Plenty of Fish, honestly.
Like people who know in some my photographers,
experience.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I experienced from it. Jesus. People who might have more money, it seemed like, but not. It's rich fuckboys, like, broke fuckboys... Middle class fuckboys, yeah. Working class fuckboys, upper middle class.
So I feel fuckboys. The documentary is going to be lit exactly when it happens.
A diverse array of fuckboys.
I think there's a lot of hoteps out there.
Mm-hmm. Low key.
Yeah.
Varying degrees of fuckboys and hoteps.
Oh, here
you could be like a level 1, level 10, anywhere in between.
Yeah.
On both spectrums.
Oh, that's the hotep video game where it's like level 10 hotep.
Oh no, ew. That's like that guy who had his locks into like an ankh shape. Do
yes.
You remember that?
Yes. Yes, that's the hotep boss.
I hope that guy is actually a nice person, but too, it's not but looking good hilarious. For him, honestly. There's an African store by my house. It just sells random like African apparel. I'm not being like racist, mm-hmm. It's like from different places. Whew, man, the woman is very nice. Who like she runs the store, but her husband also owns the store with her, but he doesn't do anything. Like, he does, but like if you're a woman and you walk in there, he won't greet you.
Really?
But if you're a man, he will, and if you're a man, she will, but only if you're a woman will she greet you.
Wow. Yeah,
and like, before she's, oh my god, it's so weird, before she like... tells you a price or something, she asks him, which is weird because you work there too, yeah. Right? You should know the prices of things. And she also like calls him daddy in front of everyone.
That's disgusting.
Though.
They need to cut that
there's
shit out.
A lot of
that upsets me.
That's a hotep store.
That upsets me.
They also
me.
Sell they sell their stuff for a little too much. Like, I can't afford it. I'd love to support, but that is a hotep store.
Maybe I should be more sympathetic, but like, it seems unprofessional to call somebody daddy.
In any situation.
Unless you're at a sex shop where that's, like, a themed thing.
Or your Lil Wayne.
But if I run a store with my actual dad, I'm not even going to call him daddy.
No, I'll be like, let me get the manager or the,
exactly,
like,
exactly.
Let me consult my partner.
It's like, daddy, how much does this cost again? I'm like, ooh, oof. Nah. We've got to go.
I'm not shopping here.
Yeah. I can't afford it anyway, but yeah.
I can't.
Just a little hotel anecdote shit. For everyone.
That oil.
Oil.
Oil that always smells like several oils.
$100 shea butter. Yeah. $200 incense.
Ah, fuck that shit.
Yeah. Yep, so that's it for fuck you.
Yeah.
Send your shit in. IHUpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, now on to the
end of the show. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
As you may or may not have noticed, we're quickly approaching 1,000 followers.
Yeah.
So if you want to help us get to 1,000 on SoundCloud, yeah, I don't know.
iTunes doesn't tell us.
Yeah.
Stitcher doesn't tell. I can't even access Google Play. I need to keep Akeem around because he's the only person I know with Google Play.
So that's so.
A paying subscription.
So right now it's just SoundCloud. It says we're at the 1K mark.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being a part of our growth. Mm-hmm. And if you guys want a party or something for our first year anniversary, let me know. And then email me so I can get to know you before I invite you to my house.
Who is it going to be at your house?
I don't know.
We'll see.
It shouldn't be.
It should not.
So that's it for the Inner Hoe Uprising. You can follow us in the following places.
Okay. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @slam_pow. Also Periscope, @slam_pow. Facebook, Slam Pow Productions. YouTube, Slam Pow Productions. You can find me at SlamRid, 2Ds, Instagram and Twitter. And Snapchat at Smanners, as well as Facebook Smanners.
You can follow me on Instagram at Shunika Powell, or just Shunika Powell. You can also follow me on Snapchat at Volcano Volva.
Mm-hmm. Subscribe. But review us on iTunes.
Yeah, let us know what you think.
Because that's still a good thing to do. Yeah, we'll just stop doing it.
It helps us.
Please.
Thanks for joining us. Yeah. Now on to a little something sexual.
Did you really snatch an 86-year-old woman's purse?
She wants to hurt me. And the bitch don't even know me.
At 86 years old, Bernice Starnes is full of spunk. She's traveled the world, seen a lot, but never anything like this.
I hope that they beat her some of the women in prison beat her every day for long as she's in there. I'm supposed to feel sorry for that bitch. I don't.